Jack and Jill here.
How you doing? Sorry.
What kind of crazy thing is that?
I don't know.
I'm always surprised by what happens.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Jack Jill Show. It's here that we try to provide entertaining real estate and investment advice. I'm Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting right now still in sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how to use your real estate agent, how to pump them full of information as an investor, as the investor that you are.
There's so many things I want to say about that. How to use and abuse a real estate agent. No, I'm just kidding. I was joking. Not that. No. But wait a minute, Jack. Wait a minute, everyone. Haven't you said all along that may not be a real... I'm trying not to be...
Career?
Yes.
I have, but we're going to get into that in a minute.
Okay, just checking.
Before we get into Jill's banter, because that's what it seems like it's going to be today.
Uh-oh.
Let's take a question posted by one of our members on the jackjill.com online community. It's free.
You know, some days I'm just really kind of punchy, and I'm going to apologize right now.
We're recording late today, and I think Jill's all hopped up on sugar or something.
Something. You know, I did just have some sugar. That's probably
it. I bet that's what's going on.
Oh, my gosh. Look out, everyone. This is what happens. All right. Alan B. asks, I have a seller who has requested to keep her deeded mineral rights as per the terms on the purchase agreement. She asked me if I would pay more if she did include the mineral rights. I told her, sorry, but my business is land, and I'm not interested in the mineral rights or the legal fees that would probably arise out of anyone finding out anything of value under the ground. She seemed surprised that I didn't want the mineral rights, but she agreed to sell the land per my offer price. The vesting deed reads like this. Together with the tenements, et cetera, belonging or pertaining, and the revisions, remainders, rents, of RMC&D conveys 50% of any and all mineral rights owned by blank, blank, and blank. So my question is, what kind of verbiage? So the mineral rights are all, basically they're all in the vesting deed, all garbled up in there. What kind of verbiage do I need to include on the new deed to make sure the mineral rights stay with the seller? Or do I just create the new deed as though there were no mention of the mineral rights on the vesting deed?
That. You create the new deed and you say nothing of it. Here's why. Here's how mineral rights work. And you answered your own question. And you know what? Actually, Justin did answer it too.
Do you want me to read that?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so yeah.
Justin, another member, answered it in the forum for him. But
he put it in there, which is so good. This is what the value of this community, by the way.
Yeah.
Justin said you can put in the easement area or after the legal description that it is less all minerals and mineral rights which have been reserved by prior owner. Beautiful. I mean, that's it. And then when a landman goes through the deed to determine mineral rights, they start way back and they start working to the present to see who may have kept them.
So how mineral rights and surface rights or the actual owning of the property are separate in most places in the country. I can't think of one where it's not like this. But what ends up happening is when the property got homesteaded in the 1800s, that started the chain of title. And whoever got it, the government deeded it to usually a rancher or farmer. So that's deed number one. Then deed number two is whoever they sold it to. Deed number three is whoever they sold it to, and on and on and on. And let's say you're number 10. And the person that you're going to be number 11, the person you're buying it from is number 10. Well, somewhere in those in the legal description throughout the chain of title and all those deeds that got conveyed, they talked about mineral rights. Chances are somebody owns mineral rights way back when, and they're dead. It's very, very complicated and very intricate and extremely legally expensive to find out who really owns legal rights. People only really care about it if there's oil and stuff down there anyway. This only comes up when people are making money.
Yeah, to concur with Jack, which is, say you wanted them for whatever reason, Alan, you wanted to do, I would still not assume that any of this is right.
Yeah, me too.
You would be going way back, sorry, in
the
beginning.
That's my whole point. She thinks she owns some version of some real mineral rights, but I'm confident
I'm
she
not
doesn't.
Positive exactly that she still does. You have to go back and confirm all that. Just because Aunt Sally or whoever who
willed this to her, said that, doesn't mean it's true.
So what I would do is I'd give her everything she wants, because chances are there's no deal there anyway. Plus, you just said you don't care anyway.
Right.
So I would say...
Do exactly what Justin said.
Exactly what Justin said, and said, you got what you want. Thank you.
Yep.
I'm going to double my money on the surface rights.
Exactly, because that's all we want it for.
Today's topic? How to use real estate agents to your advantage as an investor. Real estate agents are one of Jill's favorite topics. Every single time I say to somebody, give me a story about a real estate agent. They stop what they're doing, put everything down where they are, stop the car, and they say, have I got a good one for you?
Man.
I listed my house, bip-bip-bip. I paid over $80,000. They didn't do anything.
I know.
Or worse, they killed the deal.
That's what I was going to say. Killing
what
the deal.
Is it with real estate
that's
agents?
That's the one that really makes me
angry.
That
have the sense of entitlement where they can just list a property, throw it in the MLS, take a couple of pictures with their phone.
With the toilet seat up.
So great, Jack.
Hate that.
If they're so bad, why do you talk to them at all? Well, they do know some stuff.
Some do.
They do know a few things. Here you can get a couple examples.
The good ones who've been there for a while, yes.
Really, really long time ago, I was desperate for a job. This is right out of college. And I went and interviewed to be a residential real estate. And the first thing they asked me, the very first question, and it obviously stuck with me forever, is, did you grow up here? Well, yeah, I grew up here, but why does that matter? And they were right. Turns out they were right. Mm-hmm. Because the local customs and stuff that goes on and the people you know, that all is really, really valuable information that for whatever reason real estate agents never talk about, which I don't know why. Like, you know, I know that property seems really cheap, and when you look at it and walk through it, it's awesome, but every night at 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, there's a valve that blows out in a little sewer chain that you can't see down there, and it stinks for like a half hour.
Right.
So there's no way you're going to know that stuff. And there's no real way that they're honestly required to disclose. The seller's just going to disclose that. So if you're going to live there, this is pretty much with houses, not so much land. You want to know this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So why real estate agents don't start a consult? Because I'm happy to pay for that information.
Right.
I don't want to pay 6% of the purchase price.
Right.
But I'm happy to pay for some of that information that I honestly can't get anywhere else.
Would you recommend, when would you recommend that I seek them out for, assistance?
The most valuable stuff that they can offer, they, for whatever reason, they readily give it away. You can call them and say, like, you've done it. I've heard
it's
you do
funny.
It. You know,
yeah.
I'm in Scottsdale. I'm going to buy a property in Washington State, and I'd love to know what's going on there. And they'll sit and talk to you for a half hour, for an hour.
I know.
And there's no chance they're going to get the listing.
That's it. See, here's the good news and the bad news about a real estate agent. Traditionally, they are nosy people, man. They have their in everybody's business.
Social butterflies.
My goodness, they want to know everything about everybody and who makes what and when this is happening and all the good stuff. So, yeah, that's a pain in the rear, depending on, you know. But on the flip side, that can be, like Jack's saying right now, it can be a good thing, because if you have a real estate agent that says, oh, I know that, trust me, this is what's coming over here, or that store's never going to make it, this has been the third time, and this is bad, and that's bad, and they don't know, but they just built that on a whatever, who knows? I mean,
here's a couple of examples for that questions that I've actually asked real estate agents over the years, and they just seem baffled by this. They seem baffled like a deer in headlights baffled. So in all the area, in the Tri-County area of X, where's the best value? Like the cheapest property, but you get the most value for it. What? Yeah,
yeah,
I mean, like the most value.
Like,
what's an average price per square foot east of Pima Road? What? What's price per square foot? They just don't think this way.
No.
And if you ask a lot of, I've even had this response. This happens in Scottsdale for some reason. I would really like to offer about 40% less than the purchase price on this property. And they just,
it's math.
I don't think it's math. They have this thing like, well, why are you treating my profession?
Oh.
Do you have such lack of respect for my profession?
It's not worth that.
That you would go in. Yeah, it's not worth that.
No, that's
that
not
you
worth
would,
that.
Who the hell do you think you are?
Oh.
That you can scuff off my neighborhood and you think you can get that house for $400,000, the asking price is $500,000.
I think you're right. And I to and me, by and the then way, I want to say,
do you
pay full retail for everything then, right? Don't you?
Don't you love my outfit today?
Oh my gosh, which I paid full retail for? No. Did you pay cash for that car? And you better pay the sticker price.
I don't care. I want a good deal. I don't care about this house itself. Oh, but the house is, you should see.
Right.
The house. I don't care about the house.
It's worth it. So let me show you.
Every real estate agent that's ever been any good at any of this stuff ends up being an investor.
Oh.
Because they're applying common sense to an asset purchase.
You're
and they're
right.
leaving the sales out of it and how they're dressed out of it.
Dude, you're right. You know what? Because we have a few in our group. And they see things very differently.
Mm-hmm.
They are smart.
That's right.
And you know what? They have always been buying their own assets and they've always seen it in a different light. And you're right. And
so
I appreciate
somewhere
that.
Along That's the line awesome. In the long history of all this, somebody told intelligent people like us and like you listeners that you have to get your real estate license so you can have access to the MLS.
Because that's the end all be all.
Intentional silence for a second. I went and got my real estate license, not because I want to represent anybody. I'm actually an investor, but I just want to have access to the MLS because that's where all the data is. Not the case.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much data down to a zip code basis in places like Redfin and Realtor.com. You don't need to. There used to be maybe you get access to some data, but that's just not the case anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So step by step, like little chipping away at the big iceberg.
Yep.
Real estate agents are going away.
I used to say you're chipping away at their profession. I feel a little bad.
The great equalizer of the internet is the great equalizer. And so,
you know,
the good news is that if you're a real estate agent, don't worry.
Come on.
If you know how to buy and sell real estate, which you don't, your title agent does. If you actually know how to buy and sell a piece of real estate, like a real estate professional, like us.
Use your knowledge.
Then you're going to do great.
And go get some properties,
you don't need
too.
You don't need to represent anybody else and take a commission. Just buy your own stuff.
That's it.
I bet you know a lot of hard money lenders.
Exactly.
More than I do. I know that.
Right.
So why not? Why not just go buy
that
your
would be
stuff?
The reason. You know what? If I was thinking about doing this, that would be the only reason I would go get my license, is just to find out who's doing deals, who's got all the money, closing deals for other people, then saying, all right, now we're going to work together kind of thing. But they don't think that way. That's
right.
That's not.
And even what you just said, I could contest that because you're so much smarter than that. You can find people.
That's true.
On the internet.
That's true.
You could drive around if you needed to and look at who's got dumpsters.
I agree.
You could take a look at a list of property or data that we provide.
I was just going to
say who's got.
Figure out who the people are that own all the stuff.
Yeah,
and her flipping it or owning it for a brief time.
Yeah.
It's very easy.
If one person or one LLC owns 22 properties in one neighborhood, that they're a good candidate.
And they've owned for less than 10 days or 30 days or something like that. That might be.
This is all the stuff we talk about. This is not a commercial.
It's House Academy.
In House Academy. I almost said Land Academy again. That's going to take a while
to get
used to it.
You're good. That's why you have me.
Well, you've done it again. You wasted another 30 minutes. In case Jill wanted to say anything, we'll catch her at the end of the show here. Sometimes you turn off the mics. And Jill's like, well, thanks. I didn't talk at all.
Yeah. I'm like, I had 6 more points I wanted to make.
Do you have more points?
No, I don't. You're good.
Well, you're welcome to say anything you'd like about real estate agents.
No, it's okay. I'm good.
Your mom
here.
Was a real estate agent, wasn't she?
She was.
Give us a good story there. Like, did she come home and like high-five your dad and say, we got another one?
No. Here's what I remember. Well, the only reason she did it was to, A, buy their own first house. Mom said, we're going to do this. We're going to, you know. And she ended up buying it. She found an asset through a bank transaction, and it really was all perfect. It was way under value. They really bought it right. Nobody was in love with it. It was an awesome asset in the right area. It was just perfect, and they killed it. So that was right. That was a good thing to do. But then Mom decided to continue on in the profession for a while. And what I do remember is we never saw Mom. And that's what was so sad. And that was why she ended up leaving, because she said, your life is not your own.
Yeah, sure.
Your evenings and your weekends, forget it. Kiss that goodbye.
Oh, that sucks.
You know, and even she's, you know, writing offers on, you know, Christmas Eve. And so you don't get to see your family, which, you know, for us, that was fine.
I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. Sorry, Mom. I'm just kidding. So, but that's why she ended up leaving, because there was just a lot of hours.
My sister, as I've mentioned on the show several times, is an extremely successful real estate agent in Michigan, and her husband just recently left his corporate job of a lot of years, and they formed a management company because he's got an investor mentality and she has an agent mentality. So, and she's doing really well. So they're taking that money and paying cash for houses in a small town in Michigan and renting them out. And she says, I never talked to her, but I talked to her because it's my birthday, today. Mm-hmm. And she is just not, you know, you'd say, like, you and I have a different personality, and we obviously approach stuff differently. They're actually doing that now, too, and it's really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good.
So far, so good. He's got the patience to deal with tenants and stuff, which is good.
That's really good.
It's all good.
I love it.
Well, you've done it again. You've wasted another 15 or 20 minutes listening to the Jack Jill Show. Join us tomorrow, where we discuss how to use real estate inside information. You know, the same thing that'll put you in prison on Wall Street is actually encouraged in our real estate environment.
And legal.
Yeah, and very legal. And
very legal. And we answer your question, should you have one, post it on jackjill.com. Our online community is there. Go find it.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. Freaking hilarious, Jill. You're just a piece of work today.
Oh, no.
It's not bad.
Okay. What did I do? Good. You brought up some really good points. And basically, the thing is, the good real estate agents out there that have been there for a while, they're an awesome resource, and they have the inside information. And that's how you want to use them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know what I've done too, by the way, in the land business, I've forged a lot of nice relationships, because I have several real estate agents that still to this day will send me land deals.
Yeah.
That are too small for them, and you know, they like the people, and they're like, look, I'm not going to do this, but I can tell you who will.
Right.
And they send them our way, and then I just pass them on.
Yeah, you know? That's awesome.
So that's another nice thing too. So it's some good stuff comes out of that. So
good.
Thank you. So share the fun and subscribe please on iTunes or wherever you're listening. And while you're at it, rate us there.
We are Jack and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.